to 39747. That's green to 39747. Newsmax will share the poll results with Congress, media, and the White House. Let your voice be heard. It's important. Text green to 39747 today.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I tell you, I don't want to really be without it because I haven't really been sick in 2 years. I used to get something, bronchitis, laryngitis, cold, something, at least one. I haven't had any, so that kind of says a lot. You know, it's pretty amazing.
Right now, Balance of Nature is offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code FRUIT.
The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy John Couch. John, engineering and producing the show. And, of course, we are practicing social distancing while bringing people together. I am seated here in the spacious Bustos Media Studios, still relatively new too, and I'm seated here alone. John is on the other side of the glass in the control room, so we've got the whole social distancing thing covered here on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on this Friday, April the 3rd, 2020. We are live during the noon hour on 10:30. Tucson's voice for worldwide, it's your voice for local news talk. And of course, we have our worldwide listening and all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Our media partners are TucsonSentinel.com, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today on the live line is Domingo de Grazia, a Democrat in the House of Representatives in Arizona, Legislative District Number 10. He is the youngest son of the famed artist Ted de Grazia. His family has lived in Arizona for more than 100 years. Representative de Grazia, are you with us?
I am, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. There are so many issues that are developing around the COVID-19, and I know the legislature adjourned with the governor signing this bipartisan state budget agreement about a week ago. I talk to people, and they just assume the legislative session is over for good. So, I mean, there's a lot of confusion about what's going on right now.
Yes, there is. So our current instructions are to report back to the legislature on, I believe it's April 13th. Now, that's dependent on how the COVID-19 outbreak pandemic propagates and kind of what the state of Arizona looks like at that time. I'm forecasting that we won't be back on April 13th, and it may not be until either early May or possibly even June, depending on how this goes.
What was done specifically about COVID-19 before the session did go into a temporary adjournment?
Well, we did get some work done in the legislature. So on March 11th is when the WHO declared COVID-19 a pandemic, and Governor Ducey declared a state of emergency for Arizona. And the next day, March 12th, is when we passed one of the Senate bills that was the first one to directly address COVID. That was, I believe, Senate Bill 1051. And what that did was fund the Arizona Department of Health Services with $55 million. And it was just about a week after that when, as the days went on, it was increasingly clear that this was going to be not just serious but catastrophic. That's when we passed they're calling it a slim budget, but it's essentially the budget that we passed last year. And that also included another $50 million to fight COVID-19. And that was, I believe, right around March 19th, March 20th. So that's what we finished up before. We didn't we didn't close out the session. We just adjourned until we can get back in.
Domingo, we're going to bring in right now Sarah Garrett-Gasson. We were having a few phone issues, but I think we've got Sarah now on the line. Sarah Garrett-Gasson, editorial page editor for the Arizona Daily Star, where she is also a columnist. Hi, Sarah.
Hello. Greetings from my home office.
Yes, we're all practicing our social distancing. Sarah, we have Representative DeGrazia with us on the line, and we're just talking briefly about, Sarah, I don't know about you, but a lot of people say to me, oh, legislature's over for the year. Isn't that kind of what you're hearing too?
Yeah, and it's not. I think it's sort of is, Mr. DeGrazia was saying it's adjourned, but is planning to resume whenever that's possible, right?
Yeah. Go ahead, Representative.
Well, that's correct. That's the plan that we have in place. And most of the reason for that is because we've only gotten through about half of the bills. And what I mean by that is each chamber of the House and the Senate passed their own bills out of that chamber, and then the bills went to crossover. So in the House, we're hearing Senate bills, or we were, until we adjourn. So there's still quite a bit of work yet to do. And the second part is that we don't know how badly Arizona is going to be affected and if we're going to need any new emergency laws or any other budget appropriation. So I could see it go either way, that we just sine die and close out the session, depending on how long that takes, or we get back in to get more direct relief for Arizonans.
Would there be any possibility of a special session? I mean, I guess... I think what I'm getting at is you can't really do this, do your work, Representative DeGrazia, remotely, can you?
That is something that is a possibility. It's also an incredibly large danger for Arizonans. And what I mean by that is the process of the Arizona legislature is it's constitutionally formed. So all the power of the state governments are derived from the people of Arizona, and those powers are carried out with the consent of the governed. And if we do a remote voting session, or if we carry out committee hearings by some type of Skype or other type of video conference, then what that does is it deprives Arizonans a meaningful opportunity to come in and testify before our committees. And I hold a firm conclusion and belief that Arizonans must be part of the lawmaking process. And I'm really afraid that we don't have the technology yet to have a remote session and have Arizonans involved. So it is a possibility. I would be tremendously uncomfortable if we did it that way, but yeah, it's possible.
Sarah, go ahead.
I'm wondering what your take is on the list and delineation of essential and non-essential services as outlined by Governor Ducey's executive order from, I think it's time kind of stands still and goes really fast. I think that was last week. But I'm wondering about your take on that, because we hear a lot from people saying, you know, is getting a haircut really an essential service? Can you weigh in on your thoughts on that?
Yeah, my conclusion is that the governor's office doesn't have a clear picture of what is included and what's not. And you can come to that same conclusion by the fact that if you read, I think, three or four of the last orders that came out of Governor Ducey's office, there's no clarity, there's no coherence, and there's no real clean picture of who is included in the executive order and who is excluded and what you can and can't do. So what I've done is I've actually moved to just the baseline scientific model and figuring out what businesses should be open and the ways that they should act based on not only social distancing, but the ways that we keep ourselves safe. I mean, we know that COVID-19 it's a virus, but it doesn't spread by itself. It's people that spread the virus. So to stop the spread, we need to change our behaviors. We need some just basic behavioral modification by all of us. So with that in mind, that is the model on which you overlay on all businesses to figure out which ones should stay open and which ones shouldn't. And there's, you know, some really basic ideas that the person who cuts your hair or does your nails, they are certainly within 6 feet. So that should be something that is not open. And you can expand that out to pretty much all businesses and then derive an idea of whether they're essential and put that into calculation as well.
Has the governor, Sarah, I didn't get a chance to watch, and we carried it here on KVOI during 6 o'clock, I believe it was, the town hall that he did, and I didn't get a chance to do it. I just get to the point, Sarah and Representative, where I have to I have to just unplug from the news for a while. I think both of you would understand that, and our listeners too. The governor, though, was asked about this particular thing with the beauty salons and barbershops, correct?
Yes, from my understanding, yeah. That was addressed, but not with a specific kind of explanation answer. And I will say I did not catch the whole thing. So
maybe you were unplugging as well.
Yeah, I think we all need to at some point, but not right now. Not
right now.
Bill Buckminster show.
No, we need to be at bring our A game for sure. Go ahead, Sarah, with Representative DeGrazia.
Well, my other question is, and it you touched on it with the sort of lack of clarity in the various orders coming out of the governor's office is the enforcement. I know in Tucson police have talked about, you know, using the red tag if they see ordinance, if they see groups of, I think, 4 or 5 people or more in Tucson. But can you shed any light on what the enforcement is in this? When I looked up on Arizona Revised Statutes, it just refers to, you know, local governments have the authority to enforce these sort of things, but it doesn't explain what that means. Do you have anything you can add to that?
Well, only in my own interpretations of there's kind of two components to it. So the first that you have is the enforcement aspect, which brings down a question of what police actions would be engaged. And something like that is like a misdemeanor or I haven't seen anything that says the police would detain, but they would. As I understood it, the police would first give a warning, and then after that warning, then there would be the possibility of getting a fine. But then you have to back up to the underlying question, which is what would the law enforcement be giving these warnings or citations for? What act creates or constitutes a violation of the orders? And so then we start looking at, is a business something that is essential or not? And because of the lack of clarity in the governor's orders, there's no real clear answer to that. So you get confusion all the way around, and I can certainly see it. I've been answering constituent questions about that, and there's no really clean answer.
And we will point out and should point out, I should have actually included it in the intro, that Domingo DeGrazia, you are an attorney, so I'm sure you are, like the rest of us, trying to figure out all these legal questions about really the governor and what kind of implicit authority under emergency powers does he really have? And I think that's kind of the bottom line. Then there's this whole issue that can a city like the city of Flagstaff go a step beyond the governor in ordering the barbershops and the beauty salons closed? And at least one state representative, one of your colleagues on the other side of the aisle, Representative DeGrazia, Vince Leach, has actually wants to take action against the city of Flagstaff, with the penalty being, I guess, cutting off state revenue sharing to Flagstaff. Some of your thoughts on that, please.
Well, it is a fascinating question, and I am an attorney, so reading statutes is something I'm certainly familiar with, but it's really a difficult question to unravel in an emergency situation where both the state and the federal government had declared states of emergency. It's difficult to know where we draw the line, where cities and towns have the ability to protect their citizens when they perceive that the state orders have not gone far enough. I think this is going to probably wind up, if it if it gets pushed, it'll wind up in some court cases that are going to drag out for a few years. But it is certainly unclear. Now, we know that elected officials have the responsibility to protect their citizens and act in the best way that they believe possible. We know that in our case, Doug Ducey has put out an order that said that cities and towns can't have restrictions that are more stringent than what he puts out. But there's certainly a lot of discussion around whether the governor's orders are sufficient to keep people safe, whether they are following the science in a way that will help keep our citizens safe, or if they're just too general and broad and that this is going to get a lot worse and in the worst case scenarios and folks are going to die. So in, you know, in the matter of life and death, we have some serious unresolved questions. And the one certainty that I know is that these issues have not been worked through ahead of time. And so now we're all in the emergency situation trying to figure them out together.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. We have with us on the live line State Representative Domingo DeGrazia. He represents a Democrat representing a district number 10 in the Arizona House of Representatives, and he is an attorney. So it's interesting to get his take on all of these emergency orders and decrees. We also have Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star with us, editorial page editor and columnist. I was just kind of chuckling because I thought we had perhaps lost you again, Sarah, but I think you're still there, right?
Still here.
Okay. Have you been doing carry out, Sarah?
You know, I have I've been eating in a lot just because I managed to stock up on a lot of staples in advance. But I fully support people getting carry out and take out from local businesses, that's for sure.
And you know where I'm going. To Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's Danish Bakery. We love Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle, home of the Kringle. And right now, Mona's is open. Their hours are 6:30 in the morning. The grill is all fired up. You can call ahead, say, hey, have my breakfast ready. I'll be there in about 15 minutes. It will be waiting for you. They're open for lunch right now. You can call over there at 579-1959 or go to the website, Mona's Danish Bakery. Or if you don't want to call and you don't want to go to the website to put in your order in advance, it's pretty easy. You can walk into their bakery. You do not dine inside. Buy your bakery goods, put in your order on the grill. You can wait outside, and it will be ready before you know it. So the message here is Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, open right now. And please support our local restaurants and bakeries and those that are trying to get by in these very difficult times. I think that would probably qualify all of us trying to get by right now in these difficult times. Coming up on 12:23, Representative DeGrazia sticks around for another segment. We'll also have Sarah with us as well after the break. Be right back.
During the coronavirus crisis, Vero Amore restaurants in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowlands One and Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana are still open for takeout and home delivery. You can still enjoy all your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza. They're all available for takeout and home delivery. More at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today with Domingo DeGrazia, Democrat in the Arizona House of Representatives, Legislative District Number 10. He is an attorney, and he is our Friday Focus guest. Sarah Garrett Gasson is on the live line, one of the live lines as well today. Sarah is the editorial page editor for the Arizona Daily Star and also a columnist with the Star. And this is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, where I am all alone. I do see John, my engineer producer, on the other side of the glass, very thick glass. That was not installed just because of the coronavirus. That's just the way it is in a radio station. But here I am alone. But it's nice to know there are folks out there who are alone and listening. And hopefully we'll get some good information here, continue to get some good information from Representative DeGrazia. One area I would like to pursue is this whole idea of price gouging, Representative. Some feel there have been lots of examples, and the state attorney general has decided that he would not pursue it. Is that your understanding, that he has decided not at this time to pursue reports of price gouging?
Yeah, that's correct. And that's an interesting situation. Now, my seatmate here in Legislative District 10, Representative Kirsten Engel, she had a proposal that would amend the Arizona laws, and this was during the budget, and it was specifically on price gouging. Her budget amendment didn't make it through. It didn't get heard. So we don't have any specific laws on this right now. But most states have laws on what they call unfair and deceptive acts and practices. And Arizona certainly has laws on that already. Now, it's unfortunate that the attorney general believes that he either won't enforce those or doesn't have the power to do that. Because, as you know, we're out of session and we can't go back and pass any laws right now. But yeah, it's a huge concern, and it's unfortunate that we don't have anything specifically on point that the attorney general can pursue those cases with.
Well, Sarah, I think this sends a terrible message that folks right now, many of them struggling for supplies. I will tell you personally, I have not seen any toilet. Well, I've seen toilet paper in my home, thank God. bonus. But I have not seen any toilet paper in any stores in many weeks. And at this point, I guess folks can just charge whatever they want for some of these supplies that are in a very short supply. Sarah, don't you believe it sends a terrible message when our attorney general says, well, we're not going to do anything about it or even take a report on it?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, Bill, that it sends a terrible, terrible message. It's along the lines of, well, it's not along the lines. It is, I think, not fulfilling his responsibility as an attorney general of the state to help protect consumers. And maybe it's a belief in the capitalist free market, run amok. I don't know what his thinking or lack of thinking is on this, but it is absolutely, I think, just the height of cynicism to refuse to even take a report about price gouging and to abdicate duties and responsibilities to consumers in the state, I think is just reprehensible on the attorney general's part.
I mean, how hard would it be for someone in the attorney general's office during these very, very turbulent times to have some kind of a hotline and take down the information and then call the merchant? Just the call alone, this is the Arizona Attorney General's office, we have a report that you may be gouging customers. That alone might send a message. Do you agree with what I'm saying, Representative DeGrazia?
Oh, yeah, it would certainly send a message. Now, I don't know if that's the procedure that they would go through, but certainly the Attorney General's office, they're receiving calls right now on probably 50 different topics. So the fact that they wouldn't be taking any calls on this, that is really that would be really disappointing. And I'm hoping that they are taking calls on it. And there are some guidelines of in an emergency situation, how much of a percentage increase that a price can be raised without it being price gouging. These are not new instances. This idea has been around for a very long time, and there are a lot of court cases on it. So, yeah, it's incredibly disappointing that it won't be pursued. And there are folks that are going to get hurt. Like you said, just going out and getting something as basic as toilet paper, which is it's a fascinating product to have a run on in this time, which I still don't understand the genesis of that idea. But I have heard of folks having to go to grocery stores at 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, right when the grocery store opens up, so that they can have access to something as basic and as necessary as toilet paper.
What's unfinished? What kind of unfinished business? How about the Department of Corrections? That's something that's going to have to be addressed, isn't it, when you all finally get back together, whether it's in May or whenever?
Yes, the Department of Corrections is something that we absolutely need to take a look at. Not only the Department of Corrections, but our county jails, where people are being held in detention because they're in close quarters, and there is a high danger that those folks, if they're exposed to COVID-19, that there's going to be some catastrophic results. I mean, they're essentially in the same physical proximity as folks would be if they're on a cruise ship. So we know how quickly those things can spread. We also have the issue of voting that has to be addressed early. And there's kind of two components to voting that we see coming up. Not only the possibility that we might need an all-mail ballot for the August and November elections, which I had a budget amendment that would allow county recorders to, if they, under certain circumstances, if there was still an emergency, that they could go to an all-mail system. That, unfortunately, was not heard in the legislature, so that's still outstanding. But there's also the issue of initiatives and whether those folks can gather signatures online, which has just not been contemplated. So that is still outstanding, along with everything else that's going to be still impacted, like schools, unemployment, rent and mortgage assistance, just getting basic food supplies out. All of those things will still need to be addressed. So there's still quite a bit of work to be done.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of work to be done. And the whole idea about how all of this with the coronavirus is going to impact elections, and many states pushing back into June now their primaries. And there's even been some talk about maybe the presidential election would be all mail-in. I mean, there are so many unknowns out there. It's unbelievable. Sarah, a final question for Representative DeGrazia, please.
When you look toward the summer and into the next school year, do you get a sense of whether we will still be in this situation? I know no one can predict what's going to happen with the virus to that degree, but what do you see life being like? Are these things that we need to prepare for school online in the fall? What do you think?
Oh boy, you're putting me in a really tough spot. So I'll take a guess at it. There's a couple of predictions that are based on the modeling that we've seen in other countries as far as the rate of spread and how long folks remain in the hospital. So my hope, and I tend to be kind of the eternal optimist, my hope is that we are out of the worst of the infection rates and the worst of hospitalizations by the end of May. Now, that is that's dependent to a large part on how we all act as, you know, parts of the community. There's a lot of influence that we can have if we just practice our social distancing, if we follow the basics of washing your hands and covering your cough, those kind of things. So we have a lot of ability to slow down the infection and get it out of our communities earlier than predicted. Now, the secondary component to that is going to be the economic outflow of this, and that is likely to go on for quite a bit longer, because the businesses that they take out loans, they're going to have to pay back those loans. It's not free money. That money is going to have to be paid back somewhere. So I think this is a time for all Arizonans to be working together, to be cognizant that we're trying to help and protect one another, and that we all need to be nimble and make decisions based on the best scientific information that we have available, and that some of our routines are going to have to change for a little while, be it online schooling or work or just how we go about our daily lives. But we can certainly get through this and get through it in the best way possible if we're all working together.
And Sarah's question brought up another one. I was going to end the interview right here, but I heard her question really made me think of something else. And I think it's pretty darn important about the state budget going into the future and the rainy day fund. And can you imagine what the budget will look like with the economic devastation that we have to this state? That is going to be a huge factor, isn't it, Representative?
Oh yeah, it's going to be it's going to be terrible. There's no question about that. So one of the issues that my colleagues in the Democratic Caucus were trying to bring up as we were working through the budget is that we should have passed a budget that was a lot more mindful of the economic devastation that we're likely to see. And earlier when we were talking about the budget, I mentioned that we passed essentially the same budget that we passed last year, about an $11 billion budget, but we should have been a lot more fiscally responsible. We should have been a lot tighter on the money that we were passing through, because we know that there are a lot more folks that are going to need help, not only this month and next month, but probably throughout the end of the year. So yeah, that was a disappointing part of the budget that we just passed, is that it wasn't more fiscally responsible in light of COVID-19. So next year, 2021, that budget process is likely to be a pretty daunting and pretty disheartening experience, I'm sure.
Domingo DeGrazia, State Representative, Democrat, District 10, in the Arizona House of Representatives. I thank you very much for coming on the program today. Good conversation, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you both.
Thanks a lot. Representative Domingo DeGrazia on The Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview. And boy, there's so much going on. I mean, every time it's like you start talking, Sarah, about one subject, And it quickly leads into another repercussion, and on it goes. It's kind of like this giant snowball that we used to try to make growing up in suburban Chicago. And I know you probably made a few snowballs too back in back in
St.
The
Louis.
St. Louis, Missouri. And we'd make these big snowballs, and then we'd, you know, try to get them as big as possible by rolling them downhill. And that's what's going on here. It's like every day the snowball just keeps going downhill, and it's this problem and another. But we're trying to get through this together, and I want to talk to you some more, Sarah, so stick around on the live line on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
During the coronavirus crisis, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is open for one-on-one appointments only by calling 795-8226 to arrange a time with Moe or Corinne. No interruptions and no other customers. Moe will even arrange a drop-off at the store's front door and coordinate a virtual design session. Moe's Gallery, Fort Lowell and Dodge, 795-8226 and moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Ama Douro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 The Voice, your trusted source for news talk here in Southern Arizona. We had our Friday Focus interview today. I think we gave you some very good information about what's going on with lawmakers. We had Representative Domingo de Grazia on the program. He's the youngest son of the famed artist, Ted de Grazia. Family has been around Arizona a long time, more than 100 years. Sarah Garrett Gasson is the editorial page editor at the Arizona Daily Star and columnist at the Star. And really, this is my first chance to have Sarah on the air since all this crazy madness broke out and all of our lives have been changed. It'd be pretty hard, wouldn't it, Sarah, to find anybody whose life is normal right now?
Absolutely. I think you are absolutely right. And along those lines, I know that two of my friends are listening, Pri and Essa.
just wanted to say hello to them. They are at home because their school is they're in grade school, and of course, like all other kids, they're at home, not going to school, doing lessons online, things like that. And I just wanted to say hi to them because I know they're listening.
Well, I hope they are listening, and a big shout out to them and all the kids, and not only the kids, but all of the people who are listening, who are perhaps home alone, and they're trying to weather this storm, and it's difficult, I know, to be alone in a situation like that. So every day when I come to the studio here, I think about that and think about people who are alone, because there are all sorts of implications with this. And it's like we were talking about before the break. It's like you're starting to write or report on one thing, Sarah, and then, oh boy, what? that's interesting. Maybe I better pursue this. And it really has changed things so much at the Arizona Daily Star. This is a case in these kinds of unprecedented, like nothing in our lifetime. It's all hands on deck, isn't it, Sarah?
It is. All hands on deck from a remote location, because none of us, I think there's maybe five people still working in the building. A handful, I shouldn't say a mm-hmm. specific number, a handful. But I've been at home for weeks now. I know most other people are working either from home or, you know, out on the job covering what's going on. So it's something that we're all dealing with personally and professionally, but I have to say I have been, and I know I'm biased, but I have been just impressed by the thoroughness and the dedication and just the sheer get it done-ness of the news journalists and editors and reporters and copy editors and designers and everyone trying to do our best to make sure that we're covering local news the way only a local news outlet can.
And you've got all sorts of content, of course, on the website, and a lot of people visiting over on your website. And just, you know, we're thinking, and many people are just like, they're kind of maxed out on the news right now, and they are taking breaks, but we are here for you. That's what we do for a living. And I just want to say something, and Sarah, you know how I felt about Richard Elias. I liked him very much. We had I was very personally, he was a friend, and when he was always available to us in the media, and that was just such a shock last Saturday. I was trying to kind of unplug for a while Saturday afternoon, and then that news broke on top of everything else.
Yeah, and it's definitely a loss for the community, and I think brings into focus not only how much one person can do for their community and the various offices and positions that he held over the years, but just the very human idea that, you know, his family, we're at home, or we can't gather, his family can't, and friends can't, you know, get together at the house or have the funeral or service the way that would happen in normal times. And so I think that just sort of brings to light another human connection part of what we're missing and what we're all dealing with.
Yeah, because people, right now, when you mourn, you want someone to give you a hug, right?
Right.
I mean,
yes,
and that hug right now is not there. And this is, that makes things even more difficult. Sarah, looking ahead to the Sunday paper, could you tell our listeners about what you've got planned in your coverage?
Sure. On the opinion pages, we have we run a lot about the coronavirus and what's going on from, you know, the very serious aspect. We have a piece from U of A president
Robin's coming about what the U of A is doing and how they're helping with research and innovation. But we also have a piece from Casa de los Niños, some registered nurses there about prenatal health and pregnancy and maternal health in this time. And we have a piece that I really like from an author from Sun City, Dina Harris, who's writing kind of the silver lining of all of this, the chance to be at home and talk with people and revisit hobbies, things like that. It is a really fun sort of human take on what we're all going through, and I thought she did a really nice job with that. So that's what we're going to have on the opinion pages on Sunday.
All right, and I think it's going to be looking at the next week. One thing politically, it's going to be very interesting to see on this whole signature gathering process, who is actually going to make the ballot. When all this broke in March, that was kind of the prime time for people out gathering signatures. Some of the candidates who are running for the first time really had been struggling anyway, Sarah, as to get signatures. So I'll be very curious, and I know you will be too, to see who actually did qualify, or at least have enough signatures to make it look like they qualified. Of course, they'll have to be vetted, but it's going to be interesting, isn't it?
It sure is. Everything is upside down and sideways. We'll have to figure it all out when we're able to find some semblance of a normal life again.
Yeah, well, I'll look forward to that normal life when you can actually be seated across from me and I see your smiling face here in the studio. Yes. Better days ahead, right?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Sarah, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for spending some time with us from your home office. We'll look for the what's in the paper, the Arizona Daily Star, this weekend. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Bill. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Sarah Garrett-Gasson, editorial page editor for the Arizona Daily Star, also writes a column at the Star. Matt Russell is coming up next with Weekend Watch, and thank goodness the weekend is here. And we'll be right back.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
During this coronavirus crisis, Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, is still open for takeout and home delivery only. You can get all of your favorite Noble Hops menu offerings. Come pick them up, or they'll bring them to you. So check out Noble Hops on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and online at noblehopspub.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
All right, to the sounds of a Stir It Up, baby, that means it's time for Weekend Watch with Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist, dedicated foodie, award-winning Tucson publicist. Weekend Watch, presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, where they are looking ahead and they are, I guess, as confident as you can be in these uncertain times. But right now, big signature event, the Clay Festival, everything to do with pottery. Clay Festival 2020 is still on for July 13th through the 19th as a potential light at the end of the tunnel, a beacon of hope. You can find out more about what they're doing over there in Silver City. And maybe plan and dream about when this is finally over, getting away, because people will want to get away. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for places to stay and all sorts of great recreation opportunities. All right, let's welcome now Matt Russell. Matt, we have made a decision in the Buckmaster Show. We are definitely and are doing carry out, take out, at least once a week. And now if everyone in Tucson did that, be a very positive sign for our local eateries who are struggling so.
Ben, can you imagine? I mean, and it really doesn't sound like that big of an investment. I mean, we have to eat.
Yep.
Many of us multiple times throughout the day. But right, if you just make that pledge to say, yes, I will do my part to support some brothers and sisters in this community that are really struggling, once a week, take out once a week, that is really going to make the difference to these businesses, their staff, their employees, and their families.
Sonoran Restaurant Week is upon us. What are the details, Matt?
Yeah, well, you know, we've got a special takeout edition of Sonoran Restaurant Week now. Our friends at Visit Tucson and Storyteller Public Relations, they've teamed up to do this special edition, and it's now, and the best part about it, it's not limited to a week. So here's the deal. Participating restaurants are all putting together custom takeout meal packages designed for two people, and they've priced them each at only $30. So there's about 15 restaurants on the list now. More are being added daily, and you can go to SonoranRestaurantWeek.com to check out all the great menus, and Bill, there is no end in sight on creativity, that's for sure.
Yeah, anybody interested in tacos to go? Sign
me up.
You
know how much I love, yes, you know how much I love foldable foods, Bill.
Yeah.
I mean, I love tacos. There is a brand new taco joint on Oracle and Grant that can box up these bad boys in bulk. It's called Taco Rustico, and they have every kind of taco you can imagine, but of course, my taco takeout travels last week focused on the more, shall we say, interesting selections like the tripe tacos. I even had some goat tacos. I enjoyed some cabeza tacos. Now, we know cabeza means head, so let your imagination run wild. If you're looking for some great takeout tacos, head over to Taco Rustico.
What's going on at the Dutch?
Well, in addition to some cool takeout options, a lot of restaurants are kind of having some fun with their delivery programs. And the Dutch on Park and University, they're offering kids' meals at 50% off with a regular purchase. And check this out. For every $25 that you spend with a Grubhub delivery, you will get a free roll of toilet paper. Now, I think the street value of a single roll today is well over $25. So this is one of the best deals going. And if it's 2-ply, that's a huge bonus. I say enjoy some delivery discounts at the Dutch this weekend.
Well, folks are really responding. Matt, what is your take right now on how the restaurant community is responding? Kind of give me the kind of 30-second elevator pitch here.
Yeah, well, you know, they know what they have to do to remain real and relevant in the lives of a hungry community. You know, our hungers don't go away, and neither will they. We'll actually be talking a little bit about that this next week, but we just put out a video that told this story through the voices of four local chefs, and the community clarion call, Bill, was takeout once a week, just like you said at the beginning of the spot. You can go to the On the Menu Live Facebook page today to get a glimpse of this video. 11,000 views just in the last 24 hours. That is what they are doing. They're offering creativity with delivery and takeout, and we're there to respond to the call.
Thank you, Matt Russell. Have a great weekend. Thanks, Matt. All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by our German friend, Chris Stefan. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, and everyone here at KVOI, including John Couch, my engineer and producer, and really the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson, all of us hoping and praying that you stay safe and stay well. Have a pleasant weekend.